Thank you for joining us again this week. Have you ever noticed how evil and cruel this world is becoming? You'd have to be far off from everybody not to notice that this is happening. There's more crime on this earth than there has ever been since God created this earth and mankind bowed the knee to Satan. People's hearts are becoming more and more hateful and hurtful as the days go on. Just when we hear of something bad that has happened, and the reality of that settles into our soul, then another thing happens that again rocks the emotions of many all over this world. And although we see kindness in a few, and I mean a few, people, the majority of those we see around us seem to be getting more restless and downright mean. It's not uncommon for us to be ill-treated every day by someone in one way or another. It could be a driver who cuts us off in traffic, someone who walks right in front of us, causing us to stop in our tracks in order to avoid colliding with them. It could be a neighbor who's throwing their trash into your yard. There might be a rude person on the telephone, or someone sends you a text that is meant to hurt you. Then there are more serious matters, such as mass shootings and bombs exploding, that have some people absolutely afraid to go anywhere in public for fear of getting shot or killed. Let's face it, the world is cruel, and it is only going to get worse. It is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy concerning the end times. Yes, we are in the end of the end times. We probably feel like we have heard this thousands of times. However, it is a fact, and it is real, that Jesus is coming back. We don't know when, but he is definitely coming back. He said in Matthew 24, verse 44, "You must also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." In the meantime, however, it is as he stated earlier in that same chapter, when he said, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." To put it another way, because wickedness shall multiply, the agape love of God shall grow cold. One comment I read about this verse said, "To grow cold means that the fervency and the intensity with which some started serving God will begin to go down. The fire will no more be there in their eyes." You might think that this verse is talking about everyone, but if you read it more carefully, you'll see that it's primarily talking to Christians. This is true because when Jesus said love, he was talking about the agape, or the God love, inside of us growing cold. You cannot have the agape love of God inside of you unless you have been born again. You cannot keep it stirred up within you unless you constantly remind yourself of it. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, and Peter said this twice in his letter. Things in this world are becoming so bad that those who call themselves Christians don't even know what being a Christian is all about. It's not about wearing a cross around your neck, having a Jesus bumper sticker on your car, or even about trying to do good. It's about becoming a disciple of Christ, and a disciple is a learner. As his disciples, we are supposed to learn from Christ's example and apply it to our daily life. We should make God the object of our love, the same as we are the object of his love. We need to relearn what it means to be a Christian in the declining moral atmosphere of this world. Unless we do, we may not make it. The false Christ and false prophets in Matthew chapter 24 will try very hard to deceive even God's chosen ones. Why? Because any Christian who has the revelation of who God really is can be dangerous to Satan's kingdom. So, Satan will target them the most. It is believed that when the rapture takes place, the world will then come unraveled, and everything on this earth will fall apart. The reason is because there is value to the power of prayer. How many times has praying to God made a difference and kept this world together, even if it is hanging on by a thread? Maybe more than we could imagine. James 5 verse 16 says that the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. No doubt about it, prayer changes things. But while we are waiting for the rapture or departure, as death could be called, we have a strong responsibility to represent God and His love in a world that is so cruel. In these end times, we can still, even in the midst of the worst circumstances, lead someone to the Lord. We can also still encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. We just have to understand that God never changes. The world may change itself, but God remains the same. He will always be who He is now and has always been. We can rely on Him no matter how bad this world gets. It's a good thing, though, because this world will become unimaginably unbearable. Going back again to Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 through 22, Jesus said, "Then there will be great tribulation or anguish, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." Things will happen that have never happened before. Mark 13 verse 12 says that brother shall betray their brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. We are seeing these things happen right now across the world. The value of human life has decreased more than the value of the dollar has decreased during the recession, because material things now matter more to some people than their own family does. People value what they can possess in their hands more than they can hold in their heart. Satisfying the fleshly nature seems to take precedence for them over filling their own hungry soul with God's goodness, as Psalms 107 verse 9 says. But all of this will come to an end when the world will be destroyed with fire. 2 Peter 3 verse 12 says that everything will be set on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. This world will one day have to give an account for the evil that has increased in it. The cruel actions of this world will not go unpunished. So what does cruel mean? It can mean violent action or willfully causing pain or suffering to others or feeling no concern about it. It can also mean harsh, brutal, or savage behavior. Such treatment of others is not new. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the Hall of Faith because of its testimony to God's power working in the lives of those who had faith in Him. But others, as verse 36 says, had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Faith in God may bring hard times, but God can either deliver us from them or bring us through them. Yes, sometimes people even die for their faith, but their eternal reward in heaven far surpasses the temporary, cruel treatment that they received on earth. God has a kindness that goes way beyond the imagination and is so amazing. As much as the world is cruel, God's kindness matches and surpasses it by leaps and bounds. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, as Hebrews 13 verse 5 tells us. At this time, I'd like to present to you a few promises from the Lord in Matthew chapter 24 concerning His kindness. First, in verse 13, Jesus said that whoever shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. To endure means that one holds fast to their faith in Christ while under misfortunes and trials. Christ Himself held fast to His faith in God, the Father, while under severe and extreme torture. Not only did He bear the physical pain, but He also carried our sins with Him. He recognized that the end reward of bringing many to God through his sacrifice would be worth it all. Because of what he did, we are rescued from eternal destruction in the fires of hell. Beyond the cruel treatment of this world was God's kindness just waiting to be poured out on us all. That is what Jesus was focused on. Now in the latter part of verse 22, Jesus said, "The end time shall be shortened in order to save God's chosen ones, which are the ones who have accepted his offer of forgiveness through believing in the finished work of Christ." It may seem, though, like he should extend the end times in order to benefit us more. However, it isn't in the nature of God to let something go on until it destroys everyone he loves. This verse says that no flesh would be saved if the days were not shortened. If a parent had a child who was sick and suffering, they would try to nurture them back to health again. If what they tried to do didn't help after a couple of days, then the parent would really start to be concerned because they are anxious to see their child come out of that misery. They would be thinking, "I'll do whatever it takes for them to be well again." God is that way also. He can help us get through tough times, but he knows that, even though he has no limits, we, at times, grow tired and weak, and we need relief. He wouldn't want us to bear more than we could handle. His desire is to see us well and whole again. Shortening the days is an act of his kindness toward all those who believe in him. Moving on, verse 31 tells us that, upon Christ's return, he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world. He will send his angels to pick us up and give us an angelic ride to go to meet him. His kindness will gather us into his loving arms like a mother gathering her children into her arms and holding them. This world, in its cruelness, may try to push us away, but the Lord wants to draw us close to him. One more act of God's kindness in this chapter is found in verse 35. It says that the Lord's words shall not pass away. This is good news of his kindness. You see, the world's words are sometimes cruel toward us, but God's words are kind toward us. These kind words will last forever. Though the words of this world can cut us, they will not last. There is coming a time when the world's words will never harm us again, leaving God's kind words with us, which will help us for eternity. God cares about us and is moved with compassion, as the four Gospels say that Jesus was. And Jesus did say in John 5:19 that he does what he sees the Father do. So God is moved with compassion toward us when this world is cruel in dealing with us. He's right there inside of our heart, encouraging and strengthening us with kind words as we go through these difficult things on this earth. No matter how cruel this world can and will be, God is, and always will be, kind toward his children. Psalm 63, verse 3 says of God, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you." Father, I pray for those who are being mistreated by this cruel world. They may feel overwhelmed at times and need your kindness to help encourage and strengthen them in these difficult times. Help them to endure to the end, as your word says. May they know that when the world gives them cruel treatment, you are always available to heal the hurt that the world inflicts upon them. Thank you for being kind to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.